Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868. 221-5868. MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. It does. Good morning, everybody. This is Jefferson State of Mind. This is Wynn, or mine, M-I-N-E. This is Wynn Carpenter. My partner, Terry, is out. He's recovering from a gentle illness he's been fighting with, so we wish him well and hope for a speedy recovery. In the meantime, I have a great patriot in here with me, hanging out, and we're going to do the show together. Good morning, Chris Kellstrom. How you doing?
Good morning, Wynn. Just like old times.
Like old times.
Just like old times.
And we used to play and go run around and talk to people.
Get in
about
trouble,
Jefferson.
All sorts of good stuff.
Amen. So how you been?
Good, very good. Busy, a little busy.
Busy. Hey, well, for our new listeners that may not know and may not be from Reading, you know, that don't know who you are, why don't you give yourself an introduction there?
Okay, well, Chris Kellstrom, born and raised right here in Shasta County. Spent my whole life here, went to Enterprise and Shasta College, played basketball for both of them. Because I happen to be head and shoulders above the rest, so I had no choice but to play basketball. Been here my whole life. Now I'm running for Board of Supervisors, District 5. So I kind of got tired of the same-o, and I kind of got tired of watching all politicians run and kind of do what was best for them, it seemed, and not so much for the constituents. So I just thought, you know, it's kind of time we take this country back and can't do a whole lot on the state level, can't do a whole lot on the national level, but by golly, we can try to take this county back, give it back to we, the people, where it belongs. So I threw my hat in the ring, and here I go. It's been a pretty wild last 8 months, year, whatever, but, you know, we're right in the middle of things once again, so I'll be going until November.
All right. Has it been fun?
It has been fun. I mean, it's been a ton of work, and it's, you know, there's some headaches along the way and this and that, but actually it has been fun, and it's been really cool because it's like, you know, my last name is not exactly the you know, Kellstrom is a little bit, it's not the most common name in the world. So
right.
I have run into so many people that were like, hey, was your dad Richard? You know, is your uncle, you know?
Yeah.
And I've run into people, I'm out at a Happy Valley water board meeting here, I don't know, it's been several months ago, and there's a lady across the table, and she hadn't been at the last few that I'd been to, and she's kind of sitting across the table. I don't know. She looks somewhat familiar, but I managed a store in Happy Valley years ago. So it was like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I know her from there or whatever. Well, after the meeting, of course, she comes up and talks to me. And, we used to work together back in like 1984 at a grocery store, you know, down the street from my house. And so that was kind of cool. Another lady, Dale Ball and I were putting up a sign down in 273 and, And she pulls in, and she's kind of upset. She says, you know, when you put that sign up there, I can't see down the road. And I said, okay, I'm sorry. And I said, would you like us to move it back a little ways or something? She goes, I'd like you to put it back in the back of your truck. Oh. I said, oh, okay, well, hey, I don't want to cause any problems. I mean, you know, and she goes, yeah, I know. The landlord said you could put it out there, but, you know, and I go, okay, hey, you know what? I don't want to cause any problems. And then she looks, and she goes, what's your name? Well, I'm holding an 8-foot sign that says Chris Kellstrom on it. So I said, you know, Chris Kellstrom, and turns out I worked with her 20-some years ago, too, and her husband comes out. I talked to them, and we actually took their kid up here because we were living down south at the time, and we took their kid up here because they have family up here. Then they've since moved back, and it was like this big reunion. Then her husband goes, hey, put that sign out there. It's not a problem. So it's been really cool. I've been running into people and running into people that I knew 20, 30, 40 years ago. So mm-hmm. It's been quite an experience. It's been a lot of fun, yeah.
That's good. That's yeah. good. And it's been a little bit of work.
It has been some work. Yeah, yesterday I pretty much worked all day long, and I got about half of done what I needed to do. So, you know, so today we'll be back at it again. Yeah, there was I was up in Shingletown. They had the Founders Day parade up there, so I went up to Shingletown. They had the breakfast at the firehouse. So I had to load signs up my truck and load T-posts and do all this stuff because while I'm up there, I'm going to make it worth my time and, you know, do some other things. So by the time I got all that done, I got up there and the breakfast was over at 10. I got there about 9:30, but hey, they still had food. They were still great. And I got to sit down and, I mean, I talked to some people and made some new friends. It was kind of cool. And then went and watched the parade, ran into Barbara, our good patriot friend Barbara.
Yep.
And I'd messaged her that day, so then I run into her, and I go, hey, I messaged you, and she goes, you did? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put the signs up, you know, on the way back down, if that's okay. She goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, put signs on all the way down, back to Reading, got more signs, went back, started putting signs up in Cottonwood, and, you know, and then today, like I say, I have to go do it all over again today, so I'll be all over the place. So anybody out there that likes to put up signs, I know a guy that needs some stuff done.
Amen. Well, good. So now you're getting all this stuff taken care of. So what's the real reason you're running? Why are you running for Board of Supervisors District 5?
Basically.
And make sure everybody understands where District 5 encompasses.
Yeah. So District 5, it's pretty easy now because it's basically Happy Valley, Cottonwood, Anderson, and Shingletown.
Okay.
It used to be parts of this and parts of that and down in Churn Creek Bottom, but they removed all that with redistricting. So really, the easiest way is just Anderson, Cottonwood, Happy Valley, and Shingletown.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm running because I 8 years ago, Les Ball, my current representative, kind of upset myself and you, I believe, about, mm-hmm. yeah, a little, just under 8 years ago.
Yep.
And at that time I was like, you know what, I'm tired of this. I will just run myself if there's somebody else that's not, you know, mm-hmm. better. And then Melissa Hunt came along 4 years ago, and she's a very good friend of mine, and I like her a lot. She's on the Anderson City Council, so I thought, well, hey, great, you're better, you know, I'll get behind you. So I didn't help her as much as I wished I would have, but I mean, I helped her put up some signs, and I was, you know, quoted in her voter guide and whatnot, and a great friend, but she didn't quite pull it off.
Right.
So this time around, I was going to run. I talked to her and said, hey, are you going to run in 2 years from now? And it's, you know, and she says, well, I'm not sure. I said, well, if you don't, I'm going to. That's why I'm asking. And she goes, nope, do it. You got my blessing. Do it. So she goes, you might want to talk to my current opponent. So he happened to be there, too. So I went and talked to him, and he says, well, nothing says we both can't run. I said, okay, you know, I'm not doing anything behind your back or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's still a friend, and we're still on friendly terms. And, I mean, I still like the guy. There is a difference. You know, he's more of a politician, and I make sure I tell everybody I'm not a politician.
Right.
And I don't want to be a politician. I want to get to the county and make some changes that I think need to be made. And, you know, I'm going to make as many changes as I can, install as many, you know, programs as I can to help the people out in Shasta County, and then I'm out. I'm gone. I'm not going to do this the rest of my life. I'm not looking to go to assembly or state level or anything else. I am going to do as much as I possibly can in either one term or two terms, and then I'm out. And let's make room for the next guy. So that's kind of one of the big differences is, you know, I think the difference between him and me is, and again, he's a good guy. I don't want to talk any, you know, thing bad about
right,
him.
Right.
But I think that if you would separate the two of us, it would be, he's been in government for a while, so I think he's more, government is your answer. Let government help you. We can, you know, solve some things for you. And I'm more of a government is your problem. Get out of my way.
Yep.
Leave me alone.
Yep.
Let me take care of mine and my own. You know, so. But I have a lot of things that I want to do. A lot of things I want, one of the things right now, I come into work today, that good California clean summer air.
Yeah.
It's smoke everywhere. So one of the things I want to do, and this time of year is very important to talk about it, is I want to have our federal government, the national parks, wildlife areas, the BLM, I want to have our national government and our state forest, Latour State Forest, up out of Shingletown. Mm-hmm. Actually, between Shingletown and Burney, I've done a lot of hunting up there. Latour, actually, I'll have to give them credit. They do a pretty good job of maintaining their forest. The Latour National Forest is a state forest, is pretty clear. It's not a huge problem. There are places, though, in the National Forest up above Shasta Lake. Now, most of it's burned at this point because of the poor management of mm-hmm. them.
Yep.
Thousand Lakes Wilderness, that burned a few years ago, too. Yeah. Used to do some hunting in there. And same thing, it was so choked and clogged with downed trees and dead brush. And it was just ridiculous. And it's like, these are our lands. You manage them, but mm-hmm. they're our lands. They don't belong to the federal government. The Constitution says they control ports of entry, federal courts, and forts, which are basically military bases.
Right.
And 10 miles around Washington, D.C. doesn't say anything about Lassa National Forest or Thousand Lakes Wilderness Area or
right.
Bureau of Land Management. It specifically says those areas. So the fact they do not own that land in our county, in our state. So if they can't take care of it, then we need to take it back over and we'll take care of it. Whatever it works. But the good news is they will take care of it if you make them. So I've talked to a forester in Trinity County, retired, that they did pass an ordinance in Trinity County several years ago.
Okay.
And they basically, the federal government would curtail their plans into try to fit within that county ordinance. So I want to write a county ordinance in Shasta County that says, and I don't have the numbers, but so many metric tons per acre, you need to have your forest cleared to that. I don't care how you do it. If you want to thin the trees and get back into some logging, so be it. If you want to just go in there and chip everything, so be it. I don't care how you do it, but we need to thin those forests, thin that forest floor especially, mm-hmm. get those things back to healthy so that when we have these fires, they aren't so devastating. Because right now, they're just devastating. And they don't put them out. They just let them burn, and there's so much fuel load that it just burns the dirt down to glass, It's just, they're horrific. And the private land around them gets burned too.
Right.
So I don't want to make, we're doing a fire safe council out in Happy Valley right now. And like I say, I was in Shingletown yesterday. They have a fire safe council up there that does quite a bit of work, and they've gotten some grants, and they've been doing it for a while. Happy Valley is just starting out on that. So, I don't want to make the little old widow lady, I don't want to write an ordinance that she's going to start getting code enforcement to come out because she's got a downed tree. I don't want to burden the local homeowners of the private property. I want to encourage them to clean their property. I want to encourage their neighbors to clean their property, mm-hmm. but I don't want to burden them with an ordinance. But I don't mind burdening our federal government, state government with an ordinance.
Well, and to the homeowner, the private property owner, the mass that they would have ownership of versus what the government has ownership of and the mass is nothing compared to.
True. But even private landowners like Sierra Pacific. So I used to hunt up above Shasta Lake a lot. I spent a lot of time up there between Shasta Lake and Castella and over to McLeod and all the way to Dunsmuir. And that's checkerboarded in there. Every other square mile is private property, Sierra Pacific, and every other square mile is National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, the trick was when I was hunting in there, you could camp on National Forest land, and you could have a campfire and camp on National Forest land. You could not camp on Sierra Pacific land. They didn't allow that.
Right.
Well, you didn't need a map to know where you were, because if you're driving through a section of woods that is so stinking thick with dead and down trees underneath the canopy, the sunlight can't even reach the ground, reach the dead trees, and the piles of mess, and the roads are narrow, and the brush is choking to the road, and you can't even pull a pickup off to the side of the road, let alone set up a camp, you're in National Forest land. And then if you got into a nice area where it was thinned and the trees had been logged, but there was still, it was still thin, and you could see through the trees, and there was log landings, and there was turnarounds, and there was spur roads, and there was a few clear cuts here and there. Well, you're in Sierra Pacific land, and that was the place to camp, but you couldn't do it. So wow. We literally spent weeks and weeks, over the course of years out there hunting, trying to find one stinking spot in National Forest land that we could set up a camp and legally camp, and you couldn't do it. And wow. That's a problem. Their land ought to look similar to the Sierra Pacific's land.
It should look better.
My opinion, it should, yeah.
Because Sierra Pacific is privately held and owned.
Right, and Sierra Pacific is not taking my tax dollars to clear their land.
Right.
These guys are taking my tax dollars, letting the land burn, and then giving my tax dollars back to the victims of their fire. How about instead of begging for money back from them after we have a wildfire and destroying homes and habitat and everything else, how about we get you to clean up your habitat? And that way, if we do have a fire, maybe we can control it and get it put out rather than just watch it burn.
It'll also help with replenishment of the aquifers.
Absolutely.
When you have that much dead debris on the ground and it stacks up, you know, how deep is it?
Nobody
knows. You know, it could be 3 or 4 feet deep.
Yeah.
The water's not going to penetrate that.
And there's tons of stories out there where you've had a wildfire in an area that's burned all the trees and all the brush and everything else, and there's a dry creek in it that's been dry for decades, and all of a sudden it's full of water because there's not – everything isn't sucking the water out of the creek. You know, there's actually water, still water there, but – yeah, we need, you know, again, we just, back when we used to log pre-92, you know, our forests were not in this bad a shape. I mean, they really weren't. And it's, the environmental damage is done. And that's one of the things that drives me crazy is right now I live in the ACID district, Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District. And, 2014, we wanted to bentonite and cement some of those ditches in there. And California Fish and Game came in and said, oh, you can't do that. Or Fish and Wildlife. It's still Fish and Game to me.
Yeah.
So they came and said, you can't do that, because this canal has been leaking 100 years and it's created ecosystems and habitat that you would dry up. So.
Hmm.
Yeah, so they didn't, you know, which is valid. I'll give them that. It's valid. Well, guess what? Now it's dry, and it is an environmental disaster down there. I mean, it's a disaster waiting to happen. It's already a disaster. I just had to go to Walmart and get dog and cat food. Although I don't really have a cat. I kind of have a cat, sort of. It hangs out at the house and we feed it. I guess it's a cat that's ours. But
not a raccoon.
That's the thing. And now it's raccoon food. I mean, the raccoons, I mean, you know, they usually forage in waterways and ponds and, you know, canals and ditches and whatever. There is none of those right now in Cottonwood. And so this raccoon, I walked out in the garage last week, and I was about 8:30 at night, so it was still light, you know, still daylight. It wasn't dark, and I walked out there to go close the garage door, and something comes out of the cat food bag, and it was a raccoon. I thought, oh, that's kind of cute, you know, and he ran off. Well, he came back, and he stood in the doorway, and he just looked at me, and I'm like, hey, get out of here. Yeah. And he's like,
I'm hungry.
There's cat food right there, and you ain't that big. And I grabbed a broom, and I'm like, get, and he would not move. He was staying there.
Wow.
And so finally I was by the garage door button to close it down, so I hit that, and fortunately he ran out rather than in. But then I looked out the window, and here he comes back down the sidewalk. He's coming back in there. And I walked out in the front porch the other day, and he's in the bed for the cat. There's a little cat bed on the front porch, and he's in the bed for the cat. Last night I walked out there, and he took off running, and it's like, dude, you know, but
you're not welcome here.
Yeah. And this morning I went and filled all the water bowls up on the back porch. I don't have a dog out there. I have a dog in the dog yard, but I filled up all the water dishes in the back porch, and every day, you know, or every couple of days, they're all empty again because I got the ground squirrels today. I saw a little cottontail in my backyard, things that I haven't seen there before. The ground squirrels are there, but the cottontail, I've never seen one in my backyard, but I got one there now. And all these animals, it's sad. I go down Balls Ferry Road, and there's a turtle sitting out in the middle of the road trying to cross the road because Anderson Creek's dried up, and all the ponds are dried up, and this poor thing's looking for you know, water. And then I go down Balls Ferry a week later, and there's one that's been hit by a car, and it's just like, it's so sad. And it's an environmental group down south that started this whole thing. They have no idea what they've done. They think they went and helped these 4 fish down somewhere, you know, and think that they've done everybody a favor by taking this water away from these greedy ranchers and farmers, and boy, they're going to save the world. They have devastated our environment up here.
But
devastated.
Is that the end result, though? Is that what they're really after us to do that, to drive us out? I mean, that's the way it looks.
I honestly think these people probably think they're doing the world a favor by saving these fish and taking the water from these greedy ranchers and farmers. That's how they look at them. They're greedy ranchers and farmers. You know, they don't understand, why do the farmers need a farm? They can just go to Safeway and buy their food. This is literally the mentality.
They're living in the city, and they're making these decisions. Where do they get their water? Where do they get their food?
Right. Exactly. I know.
The water to flush their damn toilets. Where do they get it?
They have no
idea. If they're
living
in San Francisco, they're getting their water from Lake
Hetchy. They think the produce comes from Safeway.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what they think. They don't know where, you know.
Oh,
so,
God.
Again, that's the mentality you're doing. Now, as far as this environmental group being evil, I'm going to say probably not. the people involved probably think they're doing the world a favor. Now, the government agencies that end up siding with them and saying, we'll cut the water off. We don't care. Mm-hmm. But these people need to get out of that area up there and move back into their little cubicles and take mass transit down to their cubicle and go to the store. And,
right.
You know, so I don't know. But it's a disaster. It's a mess. They've taken our property without due process. You know, that's the whole – it comes down to that.
That's against the law.
It is against the Constitution. And water rights are real property, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the water rights in the Cottonwood area are pre-1914. So literally.
Before Shasta Dam was put in place.
Before the Bureau of Reclamation was even created.
So how does that work? You can come in after you're created and claim ownership to something and just take it?
And that's what they did. Yeah, that's what they did.
So how does the law support that?
Well, I mean, again, that's real property. The problem is you have politicians and you have, you know, different board members and whatever. Now, our board member, our board members of ACID board has really caught so much flack. And I will say this right now. I will defend them. They made the decision based on the information they were given at the time. They took a poll of the people in the room, which was probably like 3 or 4 people because nobody ever went to the board meetings. They made the only decision they could make at the time that they thought they could make. And they still say there was no other decision. We wouldn't have changed it now. Mm. So I'm not going to give them any flack. I think they did the best they possibly could do. It would have been nice to see somebody be able to stand up and say, well, I don't care what you've said, Judge. I don't care what your ruling is. You know, you're not going to take our property away based on one guy's ruling down in Fresno. And the Bureau of Reclamation negotiated down to 18%. So, you know, doing everybody a favor. So they thought, because it was supposed to be 0%, mind you, 0 for the entire northern Sacramento Valley, every Calusa, Glen, us, everybody, no water at all. And the environmental group and the judge were happy.
That's because they were letting water out well before they should have been out of the dam.
From what I understand,
flushing
yes.
the river to yes. keep the 4 fish alive.
Right. And, you know, in this whole fiasco theory about, well, we need to flush the salt water out of the delta, and we need to release extra water. Well, guess what? Back before Shasta Dam was built, you know, you talk to some of the old-timers, and you used to be able to walk across the Sacramento River in the summertime. It would be mm-hmm. so low, you could walk across all the way across the river. There was very little water in there in the summertime.
So you essentially had ponds just sitting down through, if that, down through.
Right. I mean, yeah, it might have been, you know, 6-8 inches deep in places, a foot deep in places, right. but you could walk across the river.
Okay.
And, you know, and somehow it ended up flushing that salt out of the delta back then. So I'm not sure why all of a sudden we have to have all this cold water for these fish and this and that. I you know, and again, I'm not against the fish. I'm a conservationist. I'm all for fish. I'm all for wildlife. But we got to make some. We got to make sense, and it just seems like every time they try to do something, it makes it worse. So this time they tried to help these 4 fish, and they've devastated our environment up here. They tried to help the spotted owl and stop logging, and they've devastated our environment up here. Our forests are burning down to bare dirt.
Yeah.
You know, quit trying to help us. Let us help ourselves.
Let us help ourselves. We're pretty resourceful, and we've been managing the lands and the waterways for years, so let us take care of our own.
Right.
And then you can see how the result will turn out.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. I mean, I don't know how to solve your problems in the inner city. I don't know. I don't live there. So guess what? I'll let you solve your problems down there.
Right.
Let us solve our problems up here because we know how we live up here. I don't know what you do with your gang violence and your graffiti and your homeless and all. I don't know what to do that down there and, you know, in your
apparently
cities.
They embrace it.
And that's fine. Go ahead and embrace it. Leave us alone.
Yeah.
Let us embrace our lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Wow. That's crazy. There's a lot going on.
Oh, boy, I tell you. Yeah, I tell
you. Well, and that's the thing, too. It's, you know, it's sad because water is essential for life.
Absolutely.
And for them to, I don't know, just, and it's almost arbitrary, you know, just arbitrarily just to sign off on, hey, water restrictions no matter what. What the hell? How do they get away with that?
Yeah.
And it's a bureaucrat that's doing it.
Yep.
It's not somebody, as far as my understanding goes, it's not somebody who's elected into office that is signing off on that. It's somebody that's probably been there 15, 20 years or longer, 40 mm-hmm. years. They've worked their way up, and by golly, they've got something stuck in their craw, so they're going to fight anybody that wants to take water because they believe, you know, Bambi will be safer for it, and so will the so will Nemo and everybody else. You know, it's like, are you kidding?
The California Constitution says that water is essential for, you know, for humans as well as agriculture. That's the two, the biggest ones that mm-hmm. are in the Constitution. But now, state of California, against their own Constitution, has said that farming and agriculture is not a necessary means. They're not on the list. It's people and fish and recreation, and it goes down. Agriculture is no longer, you know, the dire need for water.
But it says it in the Constitution.
It does. Yeah. So
these jackwagons are going against the Constitution once again.
Well, it's just like hydroelectric is not clean energy to the state of California.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So here we have, you know, it's probably been 25 years ago, they pulled, used to be a forebay up above Coleman Fish Hatchery. Water came down. I think it might have even come clear out of Bear Creek. It might have been Battle Creek. But anyhow, the water came down, went into a holding pond, and then it went down to pipes and then ran a powerhouse up mm-hmm. above Coleman Fish Hatchery. They decommissioned that and took that out years and years and years ago. So that forebay's been dry now for 25 years. Killark Reservoir up out of Oak Run. I used mm-hmm. to take my kids there fishing all the time. Yep. It was just the most pristine, beautiful little mountain lake. You know, very few people around. I mean, it was full of salamanders and water snakes and trout, and there was eagles and ospreys. And I mean, it was just, you know, deer tracks all over the road from, you know, coming in and getting drinks of water in the evening times, and bear tracks and whatever else. And powerhouse has been there 100 years, you know, clean water comes in, goes through the turbines, clean water goes out the other side.
Yep,
you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's to me, that's about as clean as you can possibly get, but yep. in the state of California, that's not considered clean energy because it might harm a fish somewhere along the line, so it's not clean. Now, windmills are clean.
right.
Windmills are clean energy, even though they kill probably more birds than the powerhouses kill fish.
Yeah.
But, and then there's nothing to do with them when they no longer work. You just have to bury them in the ground versus this powerhouse been down there, out of Whitmore for 100 years. And, that's all decommissioned. The ponds are dry. The salamanders are dead. The fish are dead. The water snakes are dead. You know, everything is, it's devastated up there too. And it's just so frustrating. Grayson Nora Lake. I didn't go up there yesterday, but I'd heard they had drained one of them, and then somebody told me, no, they drained them both. So I don't know that. I didn't go there. I didn't verify that, but, I'd heard they drained. Now, this also causes another problem because when you no longer have this water storage and you have a fire, mm-hmm. there's no place for the helicopters
to scoop water. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep, so we just had one out there by the Wild Horse Sanctuary towards Manton,
yeah.
and there is no place for the helicopters to dip water. We had that Peter Pan fire, and I actually watched the helicopter, and there was a big pond out there. Well, the pond's not there anymore, and I saw him flying over the acid canal. Well, there's no water there, and he actually, from what I understood, the river was supposed to be too low to dip water, but I think he might have dipped into something and he wasn't supposed to, but it's like we're trying to put a fire out here.
You're going to take water from wherever you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, I mean, it's the more they try to help, you know, I'm with the government and I'm here to help, I think is the scariest words Ronald Reagan said you could hear. And that seems to be what's going on now up here is they're trying to help and they're devastating us.
Wow. Well, okay, so you're going to get into office and help turn this
absolutely.
All around.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. That
all
is
right.
my plan. I mean, there's some things I'm going to do, you know, for the county now. Again, I hear some great stories in the county, and I've experienced some great stories in the county. Mm-hmm. I was just at the office on Friday, and again, people are friendly, and the one lady that most of us deal with is just top notch. Wouldn't change a thing there at that county clerk's office, the Register of Voters office. Some other of these stories that I hear over and over and over again about people getting permits and people being harassed and people, you know, on and on and on. I mean,
yep.
that needs to change. And, yeah, and I'm not saying it needs to change by getting rid of people. I'm not saying that at all. I'm sure that I'll be accused of that, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the culture itself in some of these offices, not all of them by any means, maybe not even half of them, but 10-15% of them, the culture needs to change. It needs to be when the person walks through the front door, that's a customer. Treat them accordingly.
Yep.
Secondly, it's a taxpaying citizen. You're tax funded. That's your quasi boss. So mm-hmm. that's a customer first, your boss second, and they're there to get some help. Help them.
Yep.
Don't hinder them. Don't burden them. Help them.
Yeah.
And again, if that's the culture in the department, and the departments I've been dealing with, they're fantastic. They don't need to change a thing. I wouldn't change nothing. Records department, don't change anything. You guys are doing great. Some of these other ones, though, so I want to put a receipt, a simple little website. Go to this website. Let us know how we did. You know, how can we help you? How can we improve? Go to this website. Let us know. Copy of complaints or compliments, either one. goes right to each board of supervisor, the CEO, and that department head of that department. You're gonna come up with some departments that need some help rather quickly.
Yep.
If you end up getting 100 complaints a week, all from the same department, well, then you bring that department head in and you say, you need to fix this and you need to fix it now. Right. And if you don't fix it, then we're going to replace you. Plain and simple.
Yep.
You know, real easy.
Just hold them accountable and
absolutely
make sure things are done, have corrective actions.
Yep.
That's exactly what has to happen.
Yeah. So,
I mean, we wouldn't expect anything less from our children.
Yeah. And again, a lot of them are going to be compliments. I mean, when I went into the records and got my birth certificate and then a couple weeks later had to go there and get my boy's birth certificate, everybody in there was fantastic. They were helpful. They were expedient. They were knowledgeable. I would have gladly gone to a website and said, hey, you guys are doing a great job. It was a pleasurable experience. You guys helped me. It was quick, easy, convenient. Keep up the good work. Mm-hmm. You know, don't change anything. And then, you know, that compliment needs to go to each board of supervisor too and the department head. And then maybe pull that department head in one day and say,
right,
hey, we're not here to tell you to change the culture. Keep the culture the way it is. You've done a fantastic job. Here's a plaque. You know,
right,
whatever.
Right.
You know, hey, Miss, Susie Smith that runs that office window and gets nothing but compliment after compliment after compliment. Hey, you reach 100 compliments. Let's bring you in here. Let's give you a day off and a plaque and gift card or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So it's not just a gotcha negative thing. It can be a positive good thing too. But I think that way, I mean, you know, when a fast food restaurant does it, when a grocery store does it, when a big box retail, everybody does it. We mm-hmm. want to know how we're doing. It's real simple. Well, at the county, we need to know how we're doing,
too. That's how you improve your productivity and your business.
Absolutely. Yeah. And identify the problems and fix them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, pretty simple things, really.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Chris, time has come.
For
51, we're going to go to a break, and then we'll be back in just a moment.
You must be alive. Smoke gets in your eyes.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
All right, we're back at it. Good morning, everybody. We're for the second half here, or a little bit less than half, but that's all right. We're good. I'm Chris Kellstrom is co-hosting with me today in Terry's absence. Terry's out sick, so we wish him well. And we have Rebecca, who came to visit with us. Rebecca, you have some heartbreaking information here for Shasta County, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to share that with our listeners?
Yes, thank you for having me, first of all. I'm a little nervous. Just found out last night I'm going to be on here to share this heartbreaking information. I was this information kind of dropped in my lap about a teacher who was fired in June at Reading STEM Academy, which is a charter school here in Reading. It's on Oasis Road. It's a K through 8 charter school. And this teacher was fired. I'm not going to say his name, but I'm going to just give as much information as I can to parents out there, and then I'm going to leave some homework for them to do and mm-hmm. some questions for them to ask. And I dug as far as I could go. The school didn't want to really give me any information. They pretty much blew me off. I tried to give them an opportunity to clear the air, to give me whatever they could to clear the air, and they didn't really seem to want any part of that. Mm-hmm. I had to reach out to many other resources to try to get to the bottom of this, and I couldn't fully get to the bottom because they say administrative regulations aren't, you know, they're not allowed to speak on details. So the things that I do know for sure is he was in fact fired in June.
Okay.
And he was in fact actually reported to the state education board. So for me, if, and then this is for allegedly grooming one of his students.
Okay. So what does that entail? What does that mean?
So that's where it gets, where I have to be careful because I want to be careful in hearsay and right. what I actually know for a fact. And so that's why I said the two facts I do know is he was fired. It was egregious enough to be fired for and also to be reported to the state education board. As of this morning, I had somebody check, and he is still credentialed.
So the credential has not been pulled?
No. And however, I did also find out that there are no grooming laws in California. It is not against the law to groom in California. Other states have grooming laws. We do not.
It's sad that there even has to be a law to prevent them from doing it.
Exactly.
But since we don't have that, it's doubly sad that we don't have a law to prevent that.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, that's crazy.
So I want to give – where I want to give credit is the – he's actually retired now. He was the principal all the way up till just this last year. He just retired.
Who's that?
Mr. Husum.
Okay, he's the administrator of the school.
He was the principal up until – so he handled the firing
okay.
and
okay.
all of this, and then now he's retired. So the former vice principal is now the principal, and her
okay.
name is Ms. Fernandez. So – yeah, he, there was only, from what I could gather, it was only an internal investigation. I did check for a police report. There was nothing filed with authorities. I talked to the head resource officer who overlooked their resource officer. He knew nothing about it. I talked to Judy Flores. She knew nothing about it. She did say that's not uncommon because she obviously can't know every single hiring and firing of every teacher in the entire, you know, county.
But something of this magnitude?
Thank you. That's where I was headed with that.
Holy smoke.
I'm sorry, but something of this magnitude, exactly, if this really was the case,
right.
which I have pretty strong evidence.
You know, she might not know of the hiring of every teacher, but how many teachers get fired? You
right.
can't tell me she doesn't know about every firing of a
right.
teacher. That would kind of surprise me.
I'm actually... I'm going to say this. There is a track record, and I won't go into other things because I want to stay focused on this topic. But there is a track record that I know of with Reading STEM keeping things under wraps. It's, in my opinion, this is my opinion, what I have seen is they are more about protecting their image than they are protecting the students.
Oh, my gosh.
And so there are other things that they have not been transparent about in the past. And so when this came out, when I found this out, it really, not even this alone would be enough for me to be upset. But to know of other things and then to find this out on top of that, I just felt like this needs to go public. And that's what I said. I go, I'm giving you guys an opportunity to clear the air. Give me whatever you can mm-hmm. to tell me how you handled this. Why weren't parents notified? I know that other parents were not notified. There should have been transparency with this. If this was true, why were not every student that was in class with this teacher, every parent should have been notified. They should have been told to talk to their child and find out if there was any other potential alleged victims. And even if there's no grooming laws, I mean, so that's the thing, is it's really hard. I guess there was a letter that this teacher sent home with the student or gave to the student, and the parents found it were upset, went to the principal, and then that's subsequently he was fired, the teacher.
So that's how this all rolled out.
That's what I do know.
Because the teacher supposedly sent a letter to the student. The student took it home. Parent found it, and then it just snowballed.
I don't know if it was a letter in writing. I don't know if it was a letter in an email.
Right.
I don't know how the letter was presented. I just know that there was, in fact, a letter, and that says teacher does send letters and gifts to his students. Yes.
Oh, so there are no boundaries according to that teacher.
No. And I know during their internal investigation, he was barred from contacting the students. I don't know what has transpired since then, but I do know that he is still in contact with some of the students on social media.
Even though he's been barred from doing that?
I know during the investigation that he was not supposed to be in contact with them. I don't know if that investigation, since it's kind of over, he was fired and they reported it, and maybe they're moving on, and they can't really control what he does. But you would think that with all of that, you would stay away.
Yeah, because you're just loading the gun against yourself.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, so what else is going to happen with this? Any idea? What can anybody do other than talk to their kids that go to that school? Number one, find out what they know, if anything. And who do they report it to?
That is a great question. So I tried to do as much, like I said, digging as possible. I did my due diligence before I came out and spoke on this because, you know, I wanted to make sure that I had every factual piece of evidence that possible, but I really couldn't get very far. So it's just off of what my source was. And then basically the only thing I could verify from the school was that he wasn't fired and he was reported to the state education board. And so that just, I want parents, especially if your student attends that school or was an eighth grader at that school this last year, you need to talk to your student or your child and start asking questions, ask if they knew about this, and ask if they had this teacher, you know, how was their interactions? Was there anything they felt was inappropriate? Like, and if there was, definitely I would be contacting authorities.
Okay. So since nothing has been brought forward for as far as a criminal conduct, then the sheriff's department or police department and or the DA can't do anything.
Exactly. I called, and there was no report filed.
Okay.
I made sure I called, and I was trying to dig and find whatever I could to see, you know. And then when I called the school and gave them the opportunity and I felt that they blew me off, that's when I said, okay, I let her know. I'm going to go public with this because this is serious. I would be livid if this, you know, I had a child in this classroom and with this teacher, and I had no idea that you guys fired him for this alleged serious, heinous accusation.
Right. Okay, so where does it go from here? Anywhere, or does it just does it die on the vine because he's already
fired? I don't think
it's
going to die now that I'm here on this radio. That's what I'm hoping for. I want more eyes on this. I want parents to call and ask questions. I want this is just, I honestly don't really know. This is just my next step is, hey, I want to go public. I want people and parents to know what happened. What I feel was swept under the rug, kind of kept hush-hush, was not transparent. And that in my personal, what I know of, is that they have somewhat of a track record of this. And so
just sweeping things under the rug.
Yeah.
Not so much the grooming aspect of it.
Not the grooming. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. But I just, and then in general, you know, people, you think this stuff can't happen here in Shasta County. The stuff that is being taught at this school, I know for a fact, I looked into it, is absolutely inappropriate, controversial. It's all the stuff that we know that they're pushing in public schools now. And 100% it's being taught at this school.
So that's probably why we don't have any grooming laws in California, because some of their curriculum, half the teachers would probably be removed. Do you know how long he's worked at the school?
1 year at the school. I did have somebody look into him on the way here. And that's how I knew he's still credentialed. And because I asked Judy Flores, what's going forward from here? If this is true, is he going to just be able to move on and teach somewhere else?
Right.
And they're not going to know, and there could be potential other alleged victims.
Right.
And she couldn't answer that. And she said that as of now, she hasn't been notified of anything. She doesn't know how long that process takes if they report something and if anything happens. She said she hasn't been told anything by the state board, but and that she wasn't sure.
And those things have happened in the past where this exact thing, so, you know, he ends up agreeing to leave or to quit or whatever, and then it's kind of all sealed and hushed, and then he just moves on somewhere. He's got his teaching credential.
That's my concern.
That's, and it happens. It's happened before. There's been other cases where, you know, they find out a teacher and then come to find out they start digging and he had accusations here and or accusations there and over right. the years and right. but was never charged, never criminally found guilty of anything, and the credential was left in place and moved and moved and moved, and then, you know, the big question is, well, how did we let this happen? So
exactly. And that's my thing, is when you hear about these, you know, heinous crimes or something, and then you find out that they had a pattern of this, and you go, if somebody would have spoke up then, you wouldn't have this line of victims
down the road.
Down the road, exactly.
Right.
So,
right.
So speak up.
Well, and how hard is it for the state who does issue the credentials to indicate on the credential in file electronically that any other superintendent or hiring agency would have to go to them for, and they could see that the credential has something.
A flag.
A red flag of some mm-hmm. sort across it, or, mm-hmm. you know, they stamp it, date it, whatever. They have a way of earmarking it so that, wait a minute, yeah, they hold a credential, but this is the issue.
Yeah.
So then, if they do hire him, and then something else happens, they are 100% liable for that.
Okay. 100%.
That's the way it should be. Yes, yeah. Holds a credential, but this is what the credential looks like. It's not a green, you know, good to go credential. It's a red flag, or it's a red
warning.
Warning,
at least.
Yeah, something at the top of the. It's one thing. It's huge to go again to go after children. They're still a child. When they're under 18, they're still a child. And even going after 18-year-olds in high school, because there are some of those 18- and 19-year-olds, there's no way. They're put in your trust by their parents. There's absolutely no way that that should be acceptable. No way.
Yes, I agree. And I also, like I said, I had someone look into his credentials actually on the way here, and they found out that, I guess, this teacher worked at Gateway, Shasta Union, Enterprise, Reading Elementary as a teacher aide, and then maintenance. So they put custodian ? Like, I guess. You know, so apparently he has actually been around a little longer than I thought. I thought this was his first teaching year.
So he's been around to what, four or five schools?
Yeah.
Here in the Reading area.
I want to say, I'm trying to be careful because I want to be careful about how I
right.
you know, present things. And
right.
I want parents to do their own homework and, you know, try yeah. to find out what they can for themselves that I haven't. Because there are other things that I know that I can't, because it will possibly reveal my source,
right.
and I have to be careful. I do run, like I shared with you, the Informed yeah. Parents of Shasta County page, the mm-hmm. Facebook group, and I have people who come to me in confidence and confidentiality mm-hmm. who will share things with me, and so I have to be, I want to respect that and be
absolutely.
Very careful.
Yes.
But as of this morning, no pending actions listed against this teacher, and certificate of clearance is current until July 2026. It says his 30-day teaching permit expires 9/1/22. I don't know what that means, but that's his credentials.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here? You've announced it on the radio. You're getting the word out. You have a platform people can contact you at?
I have the group on Facebook, Informed Parents of Shasta County. As I said at the beginning of the show, mm-hmm. I just found out last night was coming on here, so I'm going to be creating an email because I realized, oh, I don't really have a way for people to contact me other than that group, mm-hmm. And it's a private group. I'm careful about who's in there, and so I will be making an email as soon as I'm done here.
Okay.
And so it'll be – I'll give you that info, and if you could mm-hmm. share it, maybe. I don't know if you have
yeah.
a way to share it,
yeah,
but it'll be an Informed Parents of Shasta County at probably Proton
okay.
Mail.
Okay.
So as soon as I'm done here, I plan on creating an email because I want parents to reach out, you know, if there's anything that's happened with you at that school or any school. We need to hold schools accountable. They are there to teach our children,
mm-hmm.
and our children should be – we trust them to – that our children are protected.
They're
safe.
Safe.
And if anything happens, they need to be transparent. And when they're not, we parents need to hold them accountable.
Absolutely.
So
every step of the way. Wow. This is ugly, but, you know, we've been having issues at some of the schools around the county. So what do you do? I mean, you have to fight it, and you have to combat it by being the studious parents that are going to go in and learn what they can about what's happened within the schoolroom or the classroom or on campus or elsewhere with these teachers or staff members or whoever they may be, and to protect our kids. And if, listen to your kids. Watch what your kids are doing. Listen to them. Pay attention.
Yep.
They're telling you a story without saying the words. So have the words with them.
Sit down, that's the other thing I want to tell parents is I know that we ask our kids, like, how was your day? Fine. Ask more detailed questions and look into who you're – and I don't know if there's a lot of good teachers out there, so I don't want to, like, you know, generalize. I mean, obviously, hopefully this is very isolated incidents that happen. But, you know, find out who your teacher is.
Right.
Yeah. Look up their credentials. Look up if there's any, I don't know if you can, I mean, I'm going to look into this more, and I will be sharing this stuff in the Informed Parents of Shasta County as well as the larger group of Informed Parents of California on Facebook. There's also an Instagram page, but, you know, talk to your, just get involved and talk to your children, ask more detailed questions, volunteer at your kid's school if you can.
Right.
Talk to the staff, ask how they do their hiring and what are the qualities they look for in the teachers. And stuff like that. So
and
just
find out what they're teaching in the classrooms.
100%. Find out what they're teaching because that is the other thing is I looked deeper in the stuff that the teacher was teaching was definitely controversial.
100%. So I just tried to join your group on Facebook, so I expect you to, you know,
okay.
Accept me.
I'll make sure I vet. I have to vet you first.
Wow. Okay, so people will contact you. Hopefully they'll let you know if there is anything. Hopefully – I hate to say this, but hopefully there isn't anything else. I mean, I hope that's the case. But if they have knowledge about something specific, that would be great to present to you. You can.
I think the email will be Informed Parents of Shasta County at Proton.
Right.
The Proton Mail.
Yeah. ProtonMail.com.
Sorry, I realized on the way here. Oh, I don't have a way to. I want to give out my personal email, so I need to.
Yeah.
Make one.
Well, so if we're gonna. You know, we want to have you back when you have more information. You can give us results of what's been going on.
I'm
and
going
so
to
forth.
Keep digging as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, this is
I
huge.
Want to make sure that if this is true, and if this really happened, and it was enough for you guys to fire him and go to the state board, I want to make sure then that should this teacher be teaching? Should this teacher even be around students?
Right. If they're not acceptable to be here at our county school, then why would you let them – essentially go on to another county school.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter whether it's in California, it's any other state.
Exactly. And I'm really frustrated that they were not transparent with the parents. They should have contacted every parent in that class.
Immediately.
And made sure. Exactly.
And still to today's date, they still haven't contacted parents?
No. And then when I try to call, they blew me off. Yes, happened in June. And I just called last week, 2 days in a row, trying to, hey, let me give you the opportunity. They know I have this group. I was like, I even let her know, hey, if you're not going to be transparent, then I'm going to be forced to go public because this is pretty serious. And this is burning within my heart. I can't let this go.
So we're talking 2 months later and they still haven't notified parents.
Exactly.
That's unacceptable.
That's unacceptable why I'm here.
on any level. Good grief. If it was their own child, would they not expect the same?
Exactly.
If they were in the same situation. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay. Well, we will definitely have you back, and we'll get some updates and find out what's really going on with everything else going there and hopefully get some resolution to this whole situation as it presents itself and as it should and force the state to act.
Yes.
And that's the thing, too. If the superintendent of the school itself and the superintendent of schools for Shasta County bond together and force the state to take action – then they need to do that. If they're going to claim ignorance or lack of knowledge, that's unacceptable.
Yep.
On every level.
And then if there's no grooming laws and there's nothing that – I mean, let's just say it happened or whatever, and there's no grooming laws, they don't have enough to, like, indict and convict this person, then there's the court of public opinion.
Absolutely.
And parents have every right to know what's going on in their child's school, especially if their child was – had that teacher.
Now, you said this is a charter school, so what kind of money comes from the parents to support that school other than tax dollars?
I'm not really sure. I know that they've accepted the money, so they are pretty much – not pretty much. They are held under the same standards as public. In the beginning, they started off different, but they are no different now than a public school. They have accepted the COVID funds. They've accepted the any other funding to where they now have to teach all the same stuff as public schools. They do not have that choice anymore. The California Healthy Youth Act, AB 329, the new sex ed that's not, you know, appropriate whatsoever. The CRT, the everything else that's being pushed, they teach that there.
So why would anybody send their children
exactly
there? Oh, good grief.
I mean, there are some good teachers there, so I, you know.
No, I get it.
I don't want to generalize, but.
Yeah, they can be a good teacher and still teach garbage.
Yeah.
You know, and they're forced
to do
that.
And they were horrible, but with the COVID crackdown, it was bad.
Okay.
So.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'll have you back.
Platform.
And Chris, thank you for coming in and doing everything else.
My pleasure.
So how do people get a hold of you with your campaign and all that good stuff?
Easiest way is probably Kellstrom 4, the number 4, DIST5 at yahoo.com. That's my email.
Okay.
You can call my